I'll give you permission.
Good morning to everyone. Good morning. Last week, we spoke about a very basic question with regard to Minyan. And the reason I'm dealing with Minyan these last few weeks is because Minyans are becoming increasingly difficult for all of us right now, simply because we are davening outside and it's very uncomfortable. So if until Corona, or as I say, BC, before Corona, we davened in a shul and maybe the Minyan got us annoyed, right now, we are dealing with a situation where if we daven in a minyan outside, it's just very difficult. Bruce is even wearing...
If you come to our neighborhood, the minyan's inside, by the way. So if you're really cold, come down to where I live.
I think it's... I won't volunteer for other medical reasons. But to make a long story short, Bruce is wearing a winter hat in the house. That means something about how he's dressed outside the house. And,
there's no insulation next to my window.
To make a long story short, I'm not sure that indeed today the way we ran minyans in a shul is the way we have to run them outside a shul in terms of length and in terms of what we do, because it's becoming very difficult to be outside. Not to mention the time that we have to cancel minyan because it's raining or it's just impossible to daven outside properly. Just think of a situation where you're taking out the Torah, it starts raining. Obviously, you're not going to read the Torah. So from this perspective, I thought it would be very important to deal with the fundamentals of minyan. And what we spoke about until now was a basic question. Is minyan about presence or is it about participation? Is it the very fact that 10 people are in the room? And therefore, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, as soon as you have 10 people in the room, Shechina Sharia, the Shechina, the holy presence of the God is there. And therefore, you don't have to be in the room. Each person can daven on their own, do what they want. Or minyan is participation. You have to be davening together, the same davening at once. And if you're not doing that, then quite frankly, you're not davening together. If I can paraphrase it, I'm sure you've been at a table with a zimun. A zimun means once upon a time, one person benched, everyone answered amen. However, today when we don't do that, there's two kinds of zimuns. One is that the person who does the zimun says the beginning and the end. He's what I call the traffic light. He tells you when to start, when to begin, when to end. And everyone, you know, follows suit. And the other kind of benching is everyone benches at a different place and at a different pace. So is it participation, active, or is it presence? Is it the very fact that you're in the room, or is it actual participation in what's happening? So last week we dealt with this under one question. Now I want to deal with it with regard to the latecomer. Judaism is a wonderful religion because we don't just talk about the elitists, the tzaddikim, and say whoever's a Russia, let him be a Russia in rotten jail. Judaism talks about the Rishayim. After all, don't we have a Masechta in Shas called Masechet Avodah Zarah? Imagine a person comes to Judaism and Daf Yomi's up to Avodah Zarah. And Arthur makes a chavrusa with his new convert because he wants to mekayim the mitzvah of teaching Torah and the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha and the mitzvah of v'ahavta tager, three mitzvot in one, and he says avodah zarah. And he starts teaching him meseches avodah zarah. And he comes home to his wife, and his wife asks, what are you learning? I'm learning the tachet of idol worship. Only in Judaism do we have the laws of ritzicha. It's not how to kill, but rather, what do you do? How are you liable if, God forbid, you do that? So even in davening, Bruce, we have the law of what to do with the latecomer. He shouldn't be late. If he comes, what should he do? Yes, Bruce.
I have to admit, I was thinking about, because it was so easy to think presence or participation. That was a great double P. I got to thinking about it. And it seems only in Judaism, you know, if you're a teacher in a class, and you have to have 30 people in your classroom to get paid for the day. So, you know, you're hopping people from the street. Just sit here. You don't have to understand the language. You don't have to participate. Just sit in the room because for legal purposes, that's how I get paid. And to think that that's how the minyan would operate also, just hopping people to sit in the room, it kind of lowers the experience of what it's supposed to be, that you'd think you'd want people to participate. But no, they can actually sit there with a comic book. And if they're in the room, some positions are, it's perfectly okay. And it just struck me as illogical.
Can I buttress your very astute point? with two comments. Number one, you'd be very surprised, but there are certain places in Europe where they pay 9 people to come to shul to just sit there for a minyan every day. So the shul can have a minyan. And that's definitely presence and not participation. But B, interesting you mentioned this, because yesterday in our rabbinic training program, we mentioned the dilemma of inviting people over on a Friday night who are not religious, who are going to drive. Ancient dilemma, I'm not going to deal with it now. But there was an interesting debate in the room, and it went exactly on presence versus participation. One person said, well, if you don't make a Shabbos meal that's a wow, that people are going to come out of it and be outreached, then there's no head there. If you just sit there Friday night and say, all right, let's make Kiddush, I'm tired, the other, let's get this over with, no head there. And another person said, no, the very fact that you're eating the Shabbos meal in and of itself is a value. Even if you don't care an amazing razzle-dazzle NCSY evening. So is it presence or is it participation? And you see that question comes up again and again. So let's talk about the latecomer today, presence and participation. And I'm very happy, Bruce, that you remembered the shiur with the double P. I try to do that. I'm not always successful because the letters don't always correspond to the way that I'd like. But this time it worked. So let's begin. Everyone ready? Let's go. Yaakov, if you look at the screen, you will see that I learned a very important phrase from Rabbi Rosenzweig, father, senior, not the Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, his father, who was a rabbi in Kew Gardens in Queens. He once taught me a rule in the rabbinate that I never forgot. He said, you have to aspire to the ideal, but deal with the real. Aspire to the ideal, but deal with the real. So what's the ideal? The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, says, lechatchila, come on time. So you don't have to skip anything. Why? And this is interesting. Here comes the commercial break even before the shiur today. Because the holy book said, you ever hear that phrase before, Arth? It says in the holy books. Now, the minute you hear the word holy books, it usually doesn't mean the Mishnah Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Poskim. What does it mean? Which holy books? Either Kabbalistic or Hasidic. Those are holy. If it's Lithuanian, Sephardic, Hungarian, not so holy. So here is one of those examples. The Mishnah Berurah. The Lithuanian leader of Lithuanian Jewry, up until 1933 of his demise, he says, Shehamagid is here Labeit Yosef, Lavo Labeit HaKneset, Mahashkama. The holy Magid told Morenu Verabenu, the Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch, the Kesef Mishneh, whatever name you know him by, to come to shul on time. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you won't find anything about this. If you look in the Shut, the responsum of the Beit Yosef called the Afat Rochel, you won't find it. If you look at the Kesef Mishneh, you won't find it. But the Beit Yosef also wrote an esoteric Kabbalistic book called Magid Meisharim. Does anybody know the story with this book? So the Beit Yosef starts his life in Spain. Unfortunately, 1492, deported with all the Jews, Christopher Columbus in America. But our Beit Yosef is deported from Spain with all the Jews in the Abarbanel. He makes his way to Turkey and eventually spot Israel. And this man was zoche to have a magid, which I don't know what that is, come to him at night, tell him various things. And he wrote it down in a book. And he has a book called Magid Meisharim. So you open up the Magid Meisharim, and it says in Parshat Shmot that obviously the Beit Yosef was not coming to shul on time. He was oversleeping a little. So you ready for this, Dr. Daniel? V'hatov be'inecha, it seems okay to you. She'incha holech miyad bashkama lebeit ha'kneset, you don't come on time. Vitamid, every single day, you have to make it up after davening. So you daven whatever the necessary with the seaboard, then you got to make it up. This is wrong. If you happen to come late one day, you came off a flight, or you woke up late because your alarm clock didn't go off on time, that's okay. We have laws and regulations, but every single day, not acceptable. So this was told to them from the Malach to the Beit Joseph in Parshat Shmot. So this is interesting. You would think if a Malach comes to you in a dream, Bruce, you're going to disregard it? I wouldn't disregard it so fast. Yo, there is a pasuk in, I think, Yeshayahu or maybe Yirmiyahu, that Chalomot only talk Shav. You don't have to listen to your dreams. But in this case, Magid Mesharim, a whole book, the Beit Joseph, I'm pretty sure he got up the next morning, he was scared. So I decided to see in this book if there's any other mention of it later. So apparently the Beit Joseph and Parshat Shmot didn't listen. You go to Parshat Beshalach, let's think, Shmot, Ba'era, Bo, Beshalach. 4 weeks later, the Magid has to smack them on the head again. Ba'atov Be'enecha, once again, it seems okay to you. You think it's okay, but you should know davening is based on order. You start with brachot, korbanot, psukei dezimra, birkot kriyat shema, silent amida, then you do the tachanun, hashrei uvalitzion. You're not allowed to lahagdima meuchar velaacher hamugdam. You can't change the order of davening, and therefore you're doing something terrible by waking up. So why did I bring this today? Not because chas v'sholom, I want to say, see, even the Beit Yosef stuck late. Even he came late to Minyan. Chas v'sholom. I wanted to show two things. Number one, he was human. He also woke up late. We think rabbis are malachim. They're human beings. And number two, you could see how difficult it was even for the Beit Yosef to come on time. And number three, and this is important, this last line, with the Mishnah Berurah mentioned, that davening is based on order, and if you change the order in the Kabbalistic esoteric worlds, you are playing with fire. Yes, Bruce.
What does it tell us about our emunah today, where if your child would tell you this today, you take him to a psychologist? Or 500 years ago, seemingly it was okay to say something like that.
It's a very, very good question. The culture which we live in influences us, and the culture that the Beit Yosef lived in influenced him. Now, I can even say today, if someone in Efrat would say this, we'd be very worried, be taken to a psychologist, perhaps. I'm not so sure in Tzfat that would be the case. Tzfat is a very Kabbalistic town. Could very well be that people say, I see Malachim at night, and it's like commonplace. Yeah, I also see Malachim at night, whatever it might be. So it's really much part of the culture. But suffice it for our shir, you have to aspire to the ideal and come to shul on time, but you have to deal with the real. So today we're going to deal with the real. If we're like the Beit Yosef and we have a problem to get to shul on time, what do we do? So if you're a rabbi, my answer to you would be, don't be a rabbi. A rabbi can't come late to shul. I forgot who said it, but there was a great rabbi that said that the day the rabbi comes late, he will be called the late rabbi. The rabbis can't come late. But if you're not a rabbi, Dr. Daniel liked that. You're not a rabbi. What do you do? And there's basically three points of view of what do you do if you come to shul late. The first point of view, I'm sure you all know. And that's the point of view that you skip. The second point of view is you can skip sometimes. And the third point of view is don't skip. Now, I always thought there's only one point of view, but after preparing this year, I see there's a bunch. So allow me to introduce it with the Chacham Tzvi. Have you heard of the Chacham Tzvi? His alleged teacher is on the screen. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi. Why was he called Rav Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi?
He must have been living among Sephardim that referred to him as the Ashkenazi.
Bruce knows his history. The Chacham Tzvi was a rabbi in the Spanish Portuguese community in Amsterdam. And in Amsterdam, he was an Ashkenazic rabbi in a Sephardic community. So he was considered a second-class citizen. Rabbi today, rabbi tomorrow, but a second-class citizen. You're among Sephardim, you're a second-class citizen. By the way, everyone in this year has to do that a few times in the year. You have to go to a Sephardic shul, if you're Ashkenazi, because it's good for your gaiva. What do I mean it's good for your gaiva? We think we know how to daven, we're religious. You got to go to a Sephardic shul. And you got to start listening to the davening, and you got to feel what it's like. I don't know what's flying. I don't even know what they're saying. And then you'll feel what a Baal Tshuva feels. You'll feel what a convert feels. You'll feel that famous joke where a guy comes into shul, the KGB agent, and you know he's a KGB agent because he's holding the sitter backwards. So a few times a year, I make sure to go to a Sephardic minyan. It's good for my being humble. I finally understand what a Baal Tshuva goes through. And I always think of the Chacham Tzvi, because the Chacham Tzvi was the one that famously said that if you're in Israel, you keep one day a yontiv, despite the fact that you come from Chutz Laaretz. It's based on where your feet are, not where your head is. So the Chacham Tzvi has very innovative tshuvas. I love reading them. One of them is interesting. Can a golem become part of a man? And here comes the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. Now listen to this. Shtayim shabal the Beit HaKneset. B'sha'ah sha'achazam amar psukei d'zimra. Two people walked into shul late. Chazin's in the midst of psukei d'zimra. Well, you know, let's take an example here. Arthur, you're in shul. You come in. Rabbi Lewis, you come in during psukei d'zimra. The chazin's holding by Ashrei. So you get down, you put on your tefillin, you look who the chazan is, you right away say, we're going to have a good day today, a bad day today. And here's what happened. The hasheni, the second person, itchil mitchilat berkot ha-shachar, v'yamishabeach v'omero la-seder v'lo yitpaleli ma-kahal, v'romo shekach yidat ha-rashbi b'sefer ha-zohar. The one person puts on a tefillin, everyone's already by yishtabach, he's at Birkot HaShachar, he davens korbanos, all the psukei de Zimra, he makes sure to put in his morshir, Baruch Sha'amar, v'urachum, the dance is in there. But the second gentleman in orange, the leg of psukei de Zimra, derech harmor v'poskim. What did the second person do? Rabbi Lubez, he was the Shulchan Aruch, so he went ahead and, you know, quickly, Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, well, the Lukas Yishtabach. Done. He's with the people. Now, who's correct? So, person in orange quoted the Shulchan Aruch. He skipped. Person in purple quoted the Zohar. The problem with quoting the Zohar to you, Bruce, is I can quote the Zohar to you, but you understand the word. If you look here in the small print, I quoted the Zohar. Okay, but Tardekam al the Beit Knishte, when you come to Shul, al umatcha garmei bechule. Bruce, I can say it in Yiddish, which you understand. I can say it in Chinese, which you understand. The Zohar is total Aramaic. It's not like the Gemara where Hebrew, Aramaic, Abyssalic. This is total Aramaic. The Baruch Hashem, we have the Perush of the Sulam. Who's the Sulam? The Sulam is, if you look on the screen, in the red box with the yellow background, Rav Yehuda Leib Ashlag. He died in 1920. He came to Israel in 1921. He was the rabbi of a place called Givat Shaul. Have you heard of it? Not the Givat Shaul in Sefer Shmuel. Givat Shaul in Yerushalayim. You know Givat Shaul? Everyone here knows, or am I talking Chinese over here?
No, it's the Bruce? Northern. Sure, it's up in the north. It's a spot north. That Shaul's palace
north
might be.
Jerusalem.
There.
Yeah.
King, the King of Jordan thought he would build a nice little house there.
Ah, nice, 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 nice. My father, Zichrono Livracha, Lechaye Olam Abba, was the administrator in a hospital in Givat Shaul. The hospital is called Herzog Hospital, and it's literally a block from the cemetery in Givat Shaul called Har HaMenuchot. So it was a geriatric hospital. So when people used to call the hospital and ask for directions, he would say, take this in this bus. Anachnu tachana achat lifnei Har HaMenuchot, tarte mashma. We're one stop before Har HaMenuchot, tarte mashma. Everyone know what tarte mashma means?
The cemetery, yeah.
Yeah, one stop before the cemetery. I won't elaborate. So Givat Shaul, why do I say Givat Shaul? Because this Rabbi Ashlag, who did a great service for us, he translated into Hebrew the Zohar. He was the rabbi in Givat Shaul in the 20th century. So what does Rabbi Ashlag say with the Zohar? Nichnas umetar atzmo tchila bebracha, korbano. You come into shul, and you purify yourself, Arthur, by saying korbanot. Korbanot need to be brought in purity. If you're going to say korbanot and you're not pure, not going to work. Even when you say it, you have to be pure. This is Zohar. This is Kabbalistic Judaism. Next, la'artach mikabel lavon malchut b'seder ha'shvachim shel David. You accept upon yourself the holy heaven, the holy yoke of heaven, by saying all the psukei de Zimra, which are from the book of David. What's the book of David? Not Davidul, not David. Who's David? David Amelech. He authored the book of
Tehillim.
Tehillim. And says the Zohar, Tukai de Zimra, with the exception of Uz Yashir, is from the book of Tehillim. After all, we say it in the Psukei de Zimra. What do we say in the Psukei de Zimra? We say at the beginning of Baruch Shamar, towards the middle there, Uvishirei David Avdecha Nahalelcha Hashem Elokeinu. With the songs of David HaMelech, we're going to praise you, God. Okay? So, this is what you do.
Too.
First Korbanot, then Psukei Dezimra. Then you do Birkos Kriyachma. And then eventually you stand up for davening. And you see in the Zohar, it's ladder. It's one after another. The one gentleman said, Shulchan Aruch, I got to skip. Second gentleman said, no, the Zohar says you got to go in order. Mix up the order, no good. So who's right, orange or purple? Skip or go in order?
By the way, does one have to be right or wrong? Or it could be like an option based on how you feel about it?
I think we have to give direction as to what to do. What do you mean, how you feel about it? You have to understand what to do if you come late to shul. There's protocols you have to follow. Not just based on whatever I feel like.
No, but both views could be halakhically legitimate.
So we're trying in this year to give the basis for both. Now, if there wasn't halakhic legitimacy, we wouldn't give the basis to both. Now, I believe, once again, all you got to remember in this question, and any question with regard to minyan, is the next slide. Is it presence or participation? Namely, if it's presence, then I'll do my pace, you'll go your pace, he'll go his pace. We're all together in the same room. We're not just all together. We're davening, albeit in different parts of the Siddur. You're holding by Korbanot, I'm holding by Birkos Kriyat Shema. Or is it participation? As the Gemara in Brachot says, in the orange, Ematai Eit Ratzon, when does God favorably listen to our davening? B'sha'ah Shahatzibur Mi'alelin. When the minyan davens, not stand together, not each person in their own world, but when they dive in together. So if it's presence, everyone can be in their own place, but if it's participation, everyone has to participate in the same activity at the same time. It's not enough to have numbers. You need to have participation, active participation. So based on these two points of view, we now have to see, what do we tell the latecomer? We want him to come to shul. He's coming to shul. He came a little late. Does it mean just stop it as long as you're there? Do your thing. Okay? Preferably don't read the newspaper and the comic book like Bruce said. But could very well be no. You have to be where everyone else is. If not, it's not a minyan. It's a conglomeration of 10 Jews in the same room. You'll say holy assemblage, welcome, but not holy minyan, welcome. Okay? Now we'll see. Three points of view. Everybody ready? Viewpoint number one, you probably all know it. It's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, this is what you got to do when you come to shul late. First of all, put on your tallest tefillin, you say Baruch Shamar, and then Ashrei, two Hallelujahs, Yishtabach. The Ramah adds, if you could add in the beginning of Hodu up to the words Behurachum, great. That's where you should be, and then you say the Birkos Kriyat Shema with the minyan, and you say the silent Amida with the minyan, and you sail from there. That's option number one. But that's only if Bruce comes in and he can pull all that off. But let's say you don't read Hebrew that quickly. You know, Arthur, you have a little trouble reading the Ivrit, or you forgot your sitter at home. You're taking a sitter without the Nikudot. So what do you do? Option number two.
Is that a Bidyavad case, or is that possibly the basis for a shorter davening if it's cold outside, that they planned that in advance?
That's exactly it. We saw that the Beit Yosef was warned against it. In Shulchan Aruch, he didn't say, oh, this is Bidyavad, you shouldn't do this. The Mishnah Berurah said it, but not the Beit Yosef, so maybe it's Lechatchila. You can do a short davening like this if you're davening outside. The Baruch Shamar, Ashrei to Alelukas, and Yishtabach. And I authored the Machzer for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur this year during COVID, where we had to cut davening, cut the time we're together with Rabbi Kenny Brander. That's exactly what we followed. What Shulchan Aruch says here, number one. But let's say you come in later. So what do? Number two, you yidaleg gamizmor halu Hashem min haShemayim. If you come in later, so it's Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach. Forget about the Hallelujahs. As the Ramah says, Imenot Shehut, Lo Yomar Rach Baruch Shamar, Imal David V'Yishtabach. Okay? So, preferably the Hope Sukkot de Zimra. Two, you come in late, Baruch Shamar, or little Hodu, Ashrei, two Halalukas. Number three, if you're coming even later, give up one of the Halalukas. Four, if you're coming even later, give up all the Halalukas. Five, which is four on this list, if they're already holding by Birkos Kriyat Shema, forget about Psukei Dezimra. Go right into Birkos Kriyat Shema and make it up afterwards, albeit without a bracha. Don't say Baruch Shamar with Hashem's name or Yishtabach with Hashem's name, because it could very well be that what you're doing is useless. Psukei Dezimra is before the Daven the Amida, not after. Just in case it's not useless, we say it, albeit without its bracha. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. This is what I was taught as a kid. I didn't know there was another Shita. And the Chacham Tzvi, in that famous tshuva we just quoted, said, indeed, there's no proof from the Zohar. The Zohar didn't talk about a guy who comes late to shul. He just talked about the beauty of the order of davening. But that's only if you didn't come late. But if you did come late, this is what you have to follow. Okay? So this is the main shita. This is what we tell people. And ultimately, as Bruce said, it very well be, maybe it's not so b'di'evet. Or at least you should come on time. And if you don't, this whole list becomes relevant. Shita number two. Shita number two is written in the Sharei Teshuva. Have you heard of the Sharei Teshuva? The Sharei Teshuva doesn't talk about repenting. It's a perush on the Shulchan Aruch written by Rav Chaim Mordechai Margolios. He was a rabbi in the more Galician Polish towns. You know, Poland had Poland and Galicia. This is Galicia. This is where they pronounce Baruch Atah Hashem as Baruch Atah Hashem. Therefore, every time we mention the Sharei Teshuva, it's proper to say the Sharei Teshuva. So the Sharei Teshuva died in 1820. The Sharei Teshuva, Rav Ephraim, he was Rav Chaim Mordechai Margoliot. He was the brother of an illustrious Rav Ephraim Zalman Margoliot, who you probably heard of. Anyway, what does he say? He brings a sefer called Yosef Ometz and says in a very nice way, the whole list in Shulchan Aruch is only if you happen to come late sometimes, but not if you come late every day. Namely, if you drop off your kids or your grandchildren at 8 o'clock, and you come into shul at 8:05 every single day, and they start at the minyan at 8 o'clock, then he says you have to go in order, because that's what the Chachamim said. You got to go in order. The whole list in the Shulchan Aruch is only in a case where you happen to sometimes come in late, not every day. That's point number one. Point number two is maybe it's every day, on one condition, that you do say the basic Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach. But if you never even say that, you're coming so late, then it's a problem. You have to go in order. But if you did say the basics, then it's okay. And number three, he mentions, and this I like, whoever daven slowly. You know people that daven slowly? In our communities, we don't necessarily respect people that daven slowly. I don't like that, but that's the situation. If someone actually davens slowly and has kavana when he davens, do you know anyone like that? Then says the Sharei Teshuva, with due respect, what's going to help him if he skips? It's not going to help. Very interesting point. Says the Sharei Teshuva in a very nice way, you can sometimes skip, not all the time. Not every day. If it's going to happen every day, you can't skip. More than that, maybe you can skip every day, but you have to have the basics in there. Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach have to be in there. Mafsid the brachot legamre, it's no good. And the third point of view, which is one that I didn't expect, is the gentleman on the screen. Do you recognize the gentleman on the screen?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm blocking his kippah here, but he has a kippah on. Who's on the screen?
The Chofetz Chaim.
The Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, as you know, we started this year by quoting the Chafetz Chaim, who quoted the Beis Yosef in the Magid Mesharim. He said, you got to come to shul on time, l'chadchila. This whole thing is b'di'evet. Not surprising. Not surprising, to say the least. This is a Kalta Litvak from Lithuania, wrote a halachic book on the Shulchan Aruch. says the Mishnah Brura, and I quote, "Beharbe anshei maise nohagim lihitpalel keseder mitam ze afilu imichulav ol beit knesset." Says the Chafetz Chaim, there are people that daven exactly in the order in the Siddur, even if they come late. And I have to admit, I never knew there is such a shita. I knew the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, this is how you skip. I knew the shita of the Shari Tshuva quoted, you can't skip every day. But I never knew there was a shita, and not just shita. This is our Mishnah Brura, who we quote all the time. The Mishnah Brura says there are a lot of people that go in order, even if they came late. Now, what is that "even if they came late" addition? Afilu im ichru lavo lebeit haKnesset. I want to explain. If a person comes late to shul, then I think that we don't have to reward him. We have to make him feel a little bad, and therefore he has to skip his davening a bit and go fast. However, what happens if you come on time, but you like to daven, and you daven properly, and you say every word, and you sing it a little to yourself? You're not interrupting anyone. I'm not talking about the guy that davens out loud and makes it all terrible for us, but the guy who comes on time and davens. In my life, I have seen not one, but two rabbis, namely rabbis of congregations, that came late to shul and davened in order. And I never understood. The Shulchan Aruch is clear. Mishnah Brura, no more, no less, says, daven at your pace. It's all about presence. It's not about participation. So what's interesting here is that it's not a Kabbalist. It's a halachic authority. Who says it? Who says it? And therefore, I personally do not like to paint anyone in a category. I don't say, okay, these are halachic points of view. These are Kabbalist points of view. These are Hasidim that don't know any Torah. These are Lithuanians that don't know any Kabbalah. I don't like to paint people. I don't like to say, Sfardim, follow the Shulchan Aruch. That was Rabbi Uvadia Yosef's point of view. Lemaisa, it's not true. I don't like to say anyone is in a rubric. Anyone's in a category. So the Mishnah Brura, no more, no less, halachic authority says there are people that daven at their pace, even if I'm late. So we have three shitas. One is skip to get to the tibor, participation. The other is you can skip sometimes, but not all the time, participation, but not at all costs. And number three, it's just presence and daven at your own pace. So once again, we see presence versus participation will dictate what to do if you come late to shul.
Is the Chafetz Chaim giving a ruling or stating sort of a reality and saying?
No, he's not just stating it. He's giving not a ruling. He's stating it as a halachic opinion. Okay, I'll paraphrase what I'm about to say. Have you heard of the Maharsha? The Maharsha, printed in the back of the Vilna Shas, okay? Many times he uses the term Shoalim Ha'olam. The world asks. Now here's the questions the world asks. They do not ask, is there a vaccine for corona and is it good? They don't ask, will the government fall today? They don't ask, did Trump really lose the election? That's not the questions they ask. The Maharsha says, these are the questions they're asking. They're asking if Yesh Breira, Ein Breira, if there's Katicha, Surah or not. They're asking a lot of questions. Now, I've been on the street many times. Bruce, I have never seen people ask these questions on the street. I didn't walk around the street. I said, hey, you know what's bothering me? No, what's bothering me? Shomea ke'one in Kedusha. Does it work or doesn't it work? Okay? Am I yotze kiddush when I have negative kavana? I've been working the streets my whole life. I've never yet seen a guy come up to me and I say, hey, why are you bothered today? I'm so bothered. So what is the Maharsha talking about? Answer. As my teacher, I'm not going to say which teacher taught me this. It wasn't one of the teachers I quote a lot. He said, the Olam asks the question, which Olam, which world? The world that matters. Which world matters? The world in the base measures. That's the only world that matters. So The Mishnah Berurah, when he quotes, there's a lot of Anshei Maisei, he doesn't say, there's a lot of Jews that don't keep halacha and they do this and it's terrible, they're a bunch of ignoramuses, you should disregard them. If he quoted it, he validates the opinion. And here, he validates the opinion. So even though it's Anshei Maisei, maybe not what he considers himself, he quotes it. So there's three shitas, as I said, based on presence versus participation. Skip to participate, skip but only sometimes, or don't skip, daven at your own pace. And I want to end with a ramification. And this ramification, I have to thank my dear friend Arthur, who sent me a beautiful email with so many mekorot from what happens in the following situation. You're in shul, you're late, you're davening shachris, and the tzibur's up to musaf. Is it considered davening with the minyan or not? So it would be very funny to daven musaf before shachris, because musaf means add on. What are you adding on if you didn't say the basics yet? So Arthur, as I said last week, some of the mekorot exist, some of them don't exist. They just don't exist. There's a book he quoted with a footnote. I went to the book. There is no footnote of that number. There is no chapter like that. But what happens? If you come to shul, the tzibur is at musaf, you're at shachris. You daven your silent amida of shachris when they're davening musaf, it's davening in a minyan. So once again, Bruce, presence, participation. If it's presence, yeah. And if it's participation, no. So the Magen Avraham says, in the name of Ayin Aleph, I don't know who this is, the imitpalel musaf b'shasha tzibur mitpalelim shachris, lo mikri b'shasha tzibur mitpalelim. It's participation. So if you're a musaf, they're shachris, or vice versa. Not considered davening with a minyan. The Mishnah Berurah says, he's right, it's participation. But if you're in the same building, it's considered you're participating. You're not sitting there reading a comic book, you're davening, albeit a different amida. And therefore he says, it's considered davening with the minyan. That's in the purple. But the third point of view is Rav Soloveitchik in the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker. And this is quoted in the Bot Nefesh HaRav by Rav Shechter, who says, and I quote, the Lehi Chashev Kitfila B'Tzibur, and Minat Zorech Sheyitpalelu Kol HaTzibur Tatzfila. If you want to daven with the minyan, it doesn't mean you have to be davening exactly what everyone else is davening. You can't be reading a comic book. You can't be reading a newspaper. But if you are davening, albeit a different amita, consider davening with the Tzibur. And Rav Soloveitchik went ahead and said it's considered tefillah betzibur. You're davening in the minyan. But the Chazorat Hashatz won't help you because the Chazorat Hashatz is not repeating what you said, right? Chazan repetition has to repeat what you already said. You didn't say it. So it's not tefillah hatzibur, but it's tefillah betzibur. Now, why did I come up to this question? Because Arthur, at the end of the shir 2 weeks ago, mentioned what happens if you're in shul in Chutz La'aretz, and you're not celebrating Yom Tov Sheni, and they're in the middle of the second day Yom Tov, and you came to shul, and you're putting on, what is it called in English when you put on a show for people? I'm putting on a good show. I put on my suit and my tie. I say good Yom Tov, Chag Sameach, in all languages. But for me, it's not Yom Tov. So it comes to the Amida, and I'm davening a silent Amida of 19 blessings for Chol HaMoed. And they're davening the Yom Tov Amidah of 7 blessings. Is it considered davening with the minyan? So if it's presence, for sure. If it's participation, no. And you see there's 3 points of view here. One point of view is no. One point of view in orange, Rav Soloveitchik, his grandfather, is yes. And the Mishnah Berurah says it's only yes if you're in the same shul, if you're in the same building. Or from our perspective, if you're davening not on a porch looking at a minyan, you're in the actual courtyard with the minyan. So once again this morning, we saw presence versus participation in terms of what does the late comer do when he comes to shul late. And here you go. You have 3 points of view. What to do? Skip, daven at your own pace, or don't skip all the time. And I like to say this to people. The middle point of view I always liked. I say to people, yes, you should skip Shulchan Aruch. I don't know Kabbalah that well. But not all the time. You can't regulate your davening based on I'm going to skip every single day. I'm never going to say the whole Pesukei Dezimra. But it happens. It happens. It happens. And once again, the question will be based on participation versus presence. So Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we're going to take a break from Minyan. And we're going to talk about Hanukkah. One simple question. Is the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim end with Bayamim Bahem Bizman Hazeh? By the way, Dr. Daniel, that Bizman Hazeh is because of your son. I used to say Bazman Hazeh, but then he corrected me. And because he said Bizman Hazeh, I went with him. And now I can't get it out of my head. But it's all because of him. So if he's wrong, I'm blaming him. Okay, we're talking about 20 years of saying the wrong bracha. Is it Bayamim Bahem Bizman Hazeh or Bayamim Bahem Bizman Hazeh? In our time, at this time, or is it in our time during these days? Namely, is it both our time and then, or just then? Stay tuned next week, same time, same place. Wishing everyone a very, very good
question. I want to.